There are moments in our lives that can be just stunning. The birth of a child, standing near a natural wonder like Niagara Falls, or the experience my son and I had last year when we drove down to Ohio to see my brother and witness the total solar eclipse, to see darkness at midday, to hear the birds stop singing, to feel the air cool down so suddenly. That was all remarkable. The account in our gospel today of the Transfiguration is a similarly stunning event. Witnessing God in His glory changed the lives of the apostles. Like Peter, John, and James, our discipline during Lent enables us to witness the glory of the resurrection at Easter. St. Luke was not a witness of the Transfiguration. Scholars believe that the evangelists Luke, Matthew, and Mark all had some document that was circulating at the time that the Gospels were written that provided the common details. The event took place soon after the first prediction of the Passion, when Jesus tells his disciples he is going to Jerusalem to die. They are understandably upset. Jesus tells them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." About 8 days after he had said this, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. Situated shortly after the first announcement of his passion, death, and resurrection, this scene of Jesus' transfiguration provides the heavenly confirmation to Jesus' declaration that his suffering will end in glory. St. Peter was so stunned by his experience that he started babbling. As St. Luke puts it, he did not know what he was saying. All of them were so shaken up by the experience that they didn't tell anyone what they had seen. Over time, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. Peter was able to write about his experience in his second letter. "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory, 'This is my Son, my beloved one, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spoke to Jesus of his exodus he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. The apostles would have recognized that Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. They would have connected Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt. Moses and Elijah had each met the Lord God on Mount Sinai, only to behold his glory, but not his face. Here on Mount Tabor, they are able to see the face of the Lord God in the face of his beloved Son. For a moment, Jesus discloses his divine glory, confirming his divinity and closeness to the Father. He also reveals that he will have to go by the way of the cross at Jerusalem in order to enter into his glory. Moses and Elijah had seen God's glory on the mountain. The law and the prophets announced the Messiah's sufferings. Christ's passion is the will of the Father. The Son acts as God's servant. The cloud indicates the presence of the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity appeared on the mountain, the Father in the voice, the Son in the man, the Spirit in the shining cloud. Our first reading also shows how God's glory is revealed to his servant Abram. Now, Abram will be renamed by God to Abraham as we know him today. God promises Abram will have descendants and lands. Abram's faith in his promise is credited to him as righteousness. God instructs Abram to prepare a sacrifice to establish the covenant. The ritual of passing between the pieces of the sacrifice was something written about in non-biblical texts from the same period. The appearance of the smoking fire pot and a flaming torch are the signs of God's glory that he accepts this covenant. Through Abram's discipline and faith, he will witness the glory of God. Paragraph 556 in the Catechism states, "Jesus' baptism proclaimed the mystery of the first regeneration, namely our baptism. The Transfiguration is the sacrament of the second regeneration. our own resurrection. From now on, we share in the Lord's resurrection through the Spirit who acts in the sacraments of the body of Christ. Now, this particular liturgy, we're going to have the privilege of witnessing those who have already been baptized completing their sacraments of confirmation and First Eucharist. The Transfiguration gives us a foretaste of Christ's glorious coming when he will change our lowly body to be like Christ's glorious body. But it also recalls it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. This paragraph quotes our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. St. Paul is reminding us that we are passing through this world and our citizenship is in heaven. The things of this world are attractive, but they are not articles to be worshipped. Paul tells us not to occupy our minds with earthly things. His instructions touch on unity within the congregation, joy, prayer, and the Christian outlook on life. The Father told us on the mountain, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Last week, Jesus gave us the basic instructions for our Lenten discipline, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or charity. We learned this week that through these practices, we will see the glory of God. Through our discipline, we may be inspired by the Holy Spirit to see the glory of God manifested today in the body and blood we receive in the Eucharist.